everybody, and welcome to a free special edition this week of the Dr. Keith Lipinski Show. I am, of course, the good doctor. Dr. Keith, thank you for joining us this week here at F4WOnline.com, and we have a tremendous show of wrestle talk for you this week. Of course, our primary focus is going to be on last night's huge inaugural DGUSA event that was held in the arena in South Philadelphia. My guest host this week, two tremendous men. First off, from the land of Ireland, or as some people call it, Ironland, one of the biggest Dragon Gate fans known out there, a man who's just a tremendous man in so many ways. Welcome to our show, Alan Cunahan.
Hey, Keith, how are you?
I'm doing very well. I'm doing very well because we have with us this week a lot of wrestling shows are going to be talking about this huge DGUSA show. And we have a man that was actually at the show, like a real life. It's almost like a real life historical exhibit, except, of course, it's the one, the only Humberto Naylor. Rob Naylor, how you doing, my friend?
Hey, what's up? Coming off 4 hours sleep. Doing good, buddy.
Are you still on a wrestling high from last night's show?
I kind of am, man. It's the first time since probably the old, when the Ring of Honor shows were at the Manhattan Center, the New York building. Like, it's the first time that me and all my friends leaving a show were as jazzed as we were this last night, because a lot of good stuff.
Reading all about the show, this seems like a fantastic start to this promotion. A lot of seeds were planted for future matches, and it definitely seems that this show delivered the goods in terms of wrestle attainment. So, Rob Naylor, when you first got the arena, what were your thoughts?
Holy shit, there's a lot of people I haven't seen at shows for a while back at shows. I mean, there was 16 of us hanging out in the parking lot, our pregame alcoholic warm-ups. And that was good. And then there were like two big lines, one for the people with tickets and one for the people without tickets. And there's like that pre-show ticket line too. So just everybody seemed to be in a really good mood, and not too many people yelling, you know, crazy shit like you'd usually see. It was just a good gathering of human beings, I guess. And
I heard during the Scorpio match there was a bit of yelling and stupid stuff.
Dude, if you're in Philadelphia, it's so expected to hear that. We sat next to two guys that completely shit on the entire Yamato-BB Hulk match, which, by the way, had about, you know, 902 other people completely losing their shit the entire time. And these two guys are going, Kung Fu Young! And then one time there was like, oh, one time when Amasis was in the ring, the guy goes, do you even know who your dad is? Like, blatantly racist shit. These two guys were like a millisecond away from a pummeling. Like, seriously, giant cock eaters, but it's okay, whatever.
Why would they even buy tickets to a Dragon Gate?
I have no idea, dude. Like I said, it's Philadelphia. The fact that there were only like 4 to 8 of these fucking people who you'd like to see fucking dropped in boiling water, you know, whatever. I don't even want to go on about them, because there's so many of the people that just wanted to see good wrestling there that it's almost fucking, why even bring them up? But yeah, we got there, it was a lot of people there, I'd say about 850 to 900 people. For the pre-show, there wasn't as many. The funniest thing about the pre-show is we got there and everyone got their bags with the inaugural debut of Thundersticks. And I was like, oh boy. And this Thunderstick thing, I mean, the hype for these Thundersticks. People on Gabe's Twitter or whatever could see that Gabe had a post the night before that was a harbinger of this Thunderstick. He's like, I can't stop banging them together. And it's
people thought Gabe was talking about something else completely different.
Yeah, on paper it sounds like one of the worst things of all time, but then, it ended up being these Thundersticks. And, okay, so ROH had the little railings where you could bang on them and make noise. I understand the noise-making idea. So apparently it was thought to be a great thing that heroes would be collectively bashing their Thundersticks. But no. But then 4 or 5 people use the actual Thundersticks. Someone hit my head with a Thundersticks. Because someone stole people's Thundersticks and went in the bleachers with them. Get the fucking thing away from me. I actually hated them. I think they were. No one knew what the fuck they were, because they weren't inflated, obviously, and you know the rocket scientists that are wrestling fans, so I think that nobody really knew what. I think told there's just like fucking stickers and a picture of somebody. And, you know, I was told that the gift bags were not the huge shit, but you know, whatever. No, really complaining that much about them, but it's whatever. But, yeah, the fray was also on. And, Alan just says I'm breaking up.
Yeah, you gotta slow down, Rob. I know you're excited about this show, but you sound like you're breaking up. So we're gonna try and do it a little smooth and sexy right now, the way we like to do it. But, Alan, are you still with us, of course?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, cool. You know, I think that you gotta remember something is doing, recording radio is an exact science. I mean, there's, you know, knobs, bells and whistles. And when Rob Naylor's excitement enters into it, everything seems to go a little bit kooky and haywire. So, you know, I do understand the point that Rob Naylor gets hit with one of them spirit sticks. And it was awesome.
Yeah, let me just say then, to recount what I said earlier, Thunder Sticks didn't really work. Gift bags, not an over the top hit to start with. The Fray,
aka Absolute Andy, and those guys.
Unbreakable Andy Harner.
I'm thinking of someone else.
Aaron Arbo opened it up. They're friends with some guys from CCW, the best around. They're these two kids that are Canadians that were transplanted to the coal region. I've seen these two dudes, and I've seen them really tear shit down, but they did not do, like, 1/16th of what they could do. Obviously, they were put in there as cannon fodder for Johnny Gargano, who it seemed like the whole match was built around making him into a star. So basically, they did all this stuff to each other. Johnny Gargano came out with the chair, both up, pinned them both, and then sat in a chair waiting for his next guy. Like, classic heel stuff. So then, so he waits for them to come out, and who else came in? Lewis Linden, who, it's Flip Kendrick's brother, and I guess I could say that, whatever, I think it's well known. But, he came out, and he was so good. Like, he's doing this Karate Kid type Ralph Macchio shit. And everyone was cracking up. He was doing all these funny crane poses and chops and kicks. And he was like the most multi-dimensional wrestler in the match. And he was just very good. And that got people off and running. Gargano was great. I thought he was
great.
What
was Gargano's big move that he was pinning everyone with? I heard it was something good.
Oh god, what the hell was it? I can't even a dragon suplex turned into a face buster.
Oh,
but
wow.
It was pretty cool. It was a well-done move. I'd seen him do that in the 80s. Then who came in next? I guess Chris Jones from Florida got flown in.
Chris Bones Jones.
Yeah, I don't know, man. He was technically sound, but kind of bland. I don't know.
No Johnny Bones Jones.
Yeah, if I was flying people in, I'd have flown in Chuck Taylor or Ricochet. But again, it's just nitpicking. He wasn't awesome.
He flew that guy in?
I from what the Twitter said, someone was flown in, so I would guess it was him. But
did anyone know him? I've never heard of him. I'm like,
nobody knew who he was, which sucked. I was like, I didn't really know who he was too much either. So I was like, well, whatever. Here's this guy. So he was good technically. Like I said, he wasn't horrible by any means, but just nobody knew who he was, and he didn't really stand out. Like Lewis Linden stood out. Johnny Gargano, I thought, stood out. Then Cheech and Cloudy came in and were fucking amazing. They were so over because they're the Chikara guys and the fan base in the building knew them. So they were great. They just stepped things up big time. They hit all their double team moves. They eliminated some people. And then,
there was no vomiting during it at all?
No. Then Lince Dorado came in and he kind of cleaned up on some people. He looked okay. Am I forgetting somebody? Probably not. Regardless.
Did these guys have entrances when they came in, Rob, or was it just something like...
Yeah, but you had Don Ree going, and next into Frey will be in 10, 9, let's do it. Like, she was emotionless. Fucking terrible. Oh, God. I'm sorry. A great cause, helping out the wrestlers, probably the nicest lady, very business-minded, but she was fucking horrible, but whatever. So, Lince Dorado, Lindsay even, winds up winning it, and, you know, I think Gargano should have gone over, but what are you gonna do? Or, I think it should have wound up with Cheech and Gargano. I think the fans would have been a lot more into it. But, as it was, whatever. Fine. It was a fine match. I mean, it wasn't blow-away great. Like, if Hallo Wicked and Flip Kendrick were in it like they were supposed to be, I think it would have been a ton better. But I guess they were left scrambling looking for names or whatever, so, okay at best. You know what I mean? Just, a bonus match. Then the music hit, and they played a video, a fucking awesome music video about "It's here, finally." It's done, like there's words on the screen, and it's just this brooding music, it's like waiting. You've waited so long, and now Dragon Gate's arrived. Time to tear the mother down. And, like, everyone's just building and building and getting more fucking pumped. It's like, fuck yeah, they're showing pictures of all the Chikara guys. Like, there'd be, like, Yoshino, huge pop. Shingo, pop. Quack. Like, every name would just slowly come on the screen, and you'd see pictures of them doing this stuff. It was, like, a really awesome music video. I'm pretty sure someone from Chikara produced it. So it was a really good music video, pumped everyone the fuck up. The music hits. Dawn Marie hits the ring, parades around with her recently given birth body, and just scantily walks around saying, "Welcome to Philly!" And everyone's like, yeah! And then to her credit, she's like, "Let's go right to the first match." I was like, good. And BB Hulk's music hits, and holy shit, the people went nuts. He comes out with girls who wind up being, as exposed by Mike Johnson, Daisy Hayes and Bobby Dempsey's unknown sister. It was ridiculous. They did the dance moves fine. People fucking ate the shit up, so if anyone was complaining, they're lying, because it clearly
worked. It's like I said a couple of months ago. It didn't have to be perfect.
No.
The fucking Philly fans wouldn't know the difference.
All they needed were vibes.
Let me say you were completely right. Last week I said I thought they might shit on BB Hulk. BB Hulk, tied with Mike Quackenbush, was easily the most over guy on the show. Like, unbelievably over. Like, to sick extents of over. So I was
awesome.
Like, wow. So it made the match so easy. Everything they did looked great. Oh, BB Hulk, he does the dance routine. He climbed to the top rope to do, like, a moonsault, which I think he called an audible on. Nearly moonsault dropkick Daisy Hayes in the fucking head. Unbelievable.
Well, that's what she gets for messing up the dance moves right there.
Unbelievable.
At least it was her and not the Bobby's sister.
It was so hilarious. But it was just great times. And then the match started. Yamato was fantastic. They did shoulder block spots and kip-ups and reversals of arm twists. Everything they did was just so good. I'm watching this opening match, right? And I'm used to watching, like, ROH openers. And I'm just like, these guys are on just such a different level of professional wrestling than the guys that I normally, like, would open a show at Ring of Honor or really any other show. These guys are so fucking polished. And, like, everything was good. They were so much stiffer live than I thought they would be. And all the strikes were very just tight and in your face and kicks. Like, yeah, when I think stiff wrestling and, like, hard kicks, I don't think of BB Hulk. I do fucking now, because everything he did was just, like, very impactful. Huge pops from the fans. Just really good stuff. People said they might have overdone things. I do not agree with that thought. I think that the match was perfect for an opener. Got people super up for the show.
Yamato busted out the Galleria to finish. One of my favorite moves.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like Steiner screwdriver reverse, like style.
Oh.
Oh, the pump handle and the Michinoku thing?
Yeah, he starts like in a reverse DDT position, lifts you up for a suplex, and then just drops in your head like Steiner screwdriver.
Yeah, man, definitely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And a sick suplex, too. Like, Yamato hit a cool overhead kick. It was just really good. Oh, yeah, he did a sleeper suplex. Post-Sawa world. I was like, oh my god, are you crazy? So yeah, he gave him a sleeper and gave him a suplex. Fucking incredible match. People were just on fire for it, so It was the perfect way to start the show. I there was thought Dragon Kid and Yoshida wasn't going to open the show. And in a way, that match would have gotten over more than it did, because believe it or not, I don't think the match worked to follow the Chikara match, even though on paper you think they could follow anything, but they kind of toned stuff down. I do think the right opener was selected. I think the perfect opener. I think it had everybody involved in the match, especially later the Mott to be really figured into the top of the cards with Dragon Gate USA. So
now let me ask you some questions, Rob. When you got to the show, you mentioned the fact that there was a lot of people that you hadn't seen at a wrestling show in quite a while. When you got inside the show and there was probably like 900 people there, was it a lot of hardcore wrestling fans? I mean, was it a lot of Japanese people? Was it just a good mix of all sorts of casual wrestling fans and guys sitting there asking black people who their daddies are?
I think it was next, you know. I think there's the Chikara fan base. I think a lot of the regulars from ROH used to get front tickets all the time were there. there was a lot of fans in Japan. I know a guy from Canada that drove all the way down just to see Dragon Gate. The guy's just a gigantic Japanese pro wrestling fan. There were people from Texas that came up because they came up for like the pay-per-view and to see Rancid and to watch Dragon Gate. It was just perfect timing, you know. A great number of human beings came out for this show, you know, and you know, a lot of fans that were pissed about the ROH TV tapings that never went back that I had seen, they were back at this show. So it was just a nice collection, you know, just something for everybody, I guess.
Now, I understand that in the pre-show music, they actually played Supernaut, which, of course, was a big, you know, was a big ROH theme before Gabe was, you know, fired by Kerry in October. And I understand a lot of people were clapping, using their thunder sticks to clap along with it. Were you one of these people, Rob Naylor?
I don't know the song. I don't remember any of this shit. I was just talking with my friends. So, like, some people will notice things I won't. Maybe they did. I didn't really catch on to it. I was just hanging out, so whatever. I don't know what the song is. Is it that the one that they played before the shows? It's like, I don't know what the fuck people – I don't know. I heard that one song they used to play for ROH once, and it was just like, oh, well, there's that song. I didn't really think it was, look at Gabe sliming his filthy way into this.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about Gabe sliming his filthy way.
No, that's what I read someone said. I was cracking up. I'm like, I don't know about all that. I mean, there's just a selection of music, and just one of the songs happened to be an old song that was, God forbid, played at ROH shows in the past. Thank God, if it was truly ROH music from the past, it'd be a horrible selection of old Bad Street USA.
How could you say bad? How bad? An awful selection like Bad Street USA.
I love that song more than any human on the planet, but after hearing it about 171 times at the old ROH shows on a permanent loop, no, I do. I'm glad I did not hear that song last night, but. You know, I'm not a big fan of all the – I know Gabe likes all that I'm going to kill your eye and rip it out, stick it up your ass type music. I'm not into that. And by the main event –
Me neither.
By the main event, they were blasting some of that. And I almost – like, I was screaming a lot and jumping around like a nut. So I, like, got a fucking headache tough. And I was just kind of slumped over like, oh, God. This is – it wasn't killing me. Like, I loved the match, but I was just like, man – I'm beat, you know? So I'm like, God damn, I'm getting old. But like, you know,
they're playing the music between the match, or are you talking
it took Shingo forever to come out for some reason. Like, there was some production snafus, but nothing that they can't clean up on pay-per-view. And it wasn't like the fucking wrestler taping or anything crazy like that. But you know, it was
maybe
just like, okay.
Gabe surprised him with that death metal song he had, and Shingo was like, no, play Kamikaze song. What the hell?
I don't know that song either, but Shingo's hair was the coolest thing ever. But anyway, we'll get back to the point with the next match was Ken Doan and Too Cold. Ken Doan came out to a lot of heat. People did not like him. He's an arrogant-looking guy, a smug guy even, and people were like, oh, God, look at this guy. And like, people were like, shit, we don't like you. And he was playing up all the chants. Scorpio came out, and I could not believe the lack of reaction for Too Cold Scorpio. Everyone knows, Gabe said it on the one show, I was one of the people that pushed for Scorpio. I love Too Cold Scorpio. I think he's amazing. I think he's a great entertainer. But in my opinion, he should have played up to the crowd a little more. I think he thought maybe it was going to be too easy for him to get the pop in that arena. But like I said when I wrote about the thing, I think that Quack was about 50 times over than Scorpio. And that's not even being like overreacting. Quack was fucking Jesus Christ reincarnated in wherever he's popular at this show. Like, I was like, wow. So, like, Scorpio came out. He had the snazzy gear on. His strikes were awesome. It was pretty much a basic match to bring the crowd down, which I got. But, like, I didn't think they did anything wrong technically. Some of the more Raven-type fans that are like, you gotta do everything for a reason, would probably say this was the most coherent match on the fucking show. I would not be among those people, but I'm just saying, it was like, it was the obvious Adam Pearce grab a hold kid kind of match. And, you know, Scorpio called it. And Scorpio's the king of these meandering 30-minute matches. And it wasn't 30 minutes. It seemed pretty long. But, like, all the strikes were very good, very on point. There was some really good offense from Scorpio at times. But it was kind of a slow, methodical match, a Don Morocco-esque type of match. Doan was over as a heel. He should have been over more if Scorpio was over as a face. If I could critique Doan, I could say, Jesus Christ, I know the heels aren't supposed to do snazzy offense, but I don't remember a fucking move he did the whole match that wasn't a
punch. Did he do his leg drop?
He missed his leg drop. It sounded great, but, like, he really didn't have much of an offensive repertoire, which is either a hit or a miss, depending on who you talk to. And Scorpio destroyed his face with a flip leg drop, which looked great. Doan came up with a completely smashed, bloodied mouth. They kind of shook hands and did the happy-go-lucky thing after the match. I think if Gabe really wanted to present Doan better, and this is, again, nitpicking, perfect world type shit, I think Doan should have had vignettes on the website prior to the show. I think he should have had a built-in gimmick going into the show, and I think that he should have cut a promo and done an angle after the show. I guess Gabe was saving his heel angle for Yamato and Akuma, so maybe I understand why there wasn't two angles done. But, you know, if there was any thought of using Doan forward, maybe something should have been done, but maybe it was just like, I'm gonna give this guy a look because Paulie told me to. So, you know, whatever. I didn't think they'd have killed the crowd or anything. I heard some really, like, fuck this man. People in my section were fine. Alan, are you okay?
Excuse me. Sorry.
Oh, goddamn, I'm excited too.
Water going in the wrong way.
I hope you're okay, buddy. Death on Dr. Keith. I was worried about, I don't think it was like an abysmal match that killed everything. I think if anything, it helped when the Chikara guys came out. Cause I'll tell you what, man. Fuck yeah, man. I'm not at, like, the number one Chikarmy member or anything, but they came to steal the show, and it's hard arguing that they didn't. Everyone was fucking great. From the Ants, from fucking Amasis, who took the greatest face palm in the history of wrestling for the end of the match right onto his head, and Quack went running, Amasis went running, and boom! Like, better than anything Jushin Liger ever did. And blasphemy. I love Jushin Liger, and Quack's not my favorite human, but Quack fucking picked his spots like he always does. His guys fucking took bumps. They were great. Icarus was great. Every time Icarus got in the ring, booze. Much like a Chikara show, you know? A lot of the fan base was there, and their cheering and their vociferousness helped everybody else really get into the match and get pumped, and the guys in the ring totally deserved every reaction they got. Jigsaw was great. He did this crazy Fosbury flop-type dive, then there was a crazy dive thing at the end of the match. Hallow Wicked was the fucking catalyst of the heels, just bumping all over the place. Hallow Wicked remains the most underrated guy in the wrestling business. I hope he gets pushed top of the shows, because if anyone's going to go with the fucking Dragon Gate guys, Hallow Wicked will do it for days. Who would I have not mentioned somebody? Let me think. Akuma was awesome, just kicking the shit out of people.
Did Akuma do his try to work in his spot that he doesn't love those big matches where him and usually does with like Fire Ant, they do it well together where they go for like a tombstone, they flip each other over and all this crazy shit, and it's a big
they did a lot of intricate stuff, man. Yeah. I couldn't even commit a lot of it to memory. If I watched Chikara regularly, like, the thing is, I read a Chikara fan that said they didn't like that match that much. He said it was okay. I was blown away by the match. I think about 700 of the fans that were there out of 200 probably 800 were blown away by the match. I guess if you regularly watch them do their stuff, it's like regularly watching our Dragon Gate guys do their stuff, so maybe or Obushi or whoever, where you'd be like, huh, seen that before, but man, I loved it. I thought it was really good. I thought they seemed to have done...
For you.
Go ahead.
Here's a question for you. It was better than the six-man that you love from King of Trios with Helios.
Yes, I said it was. I think it wasn't a story-driven... But I think just watching all those talented guys go out there and really prove a point, I think it was more rewarding to watch. I think everybody – it was a really feel-good match. Here are these guys on the biggest stage of their career, perhaps, just fucking kicking shit and just destroying it and tearing it down. And Quack should have been very proud. There were Chikara chants. It really set the tone for a Chikara versus Dragon Gate match, which after the match – was basically what was discussed. The way Quack after the match is like, Dragon, his direct quote was, wow, Dragon Gate and Chikara sure make a splendid combination, do they not? Like, true Quack, very verbally astute. I was like, there you go.
Oh, I wish Naylor, you had a really good Quack impersonation right now.
I don't, unfortunately. I do horrible impressions of most people, and I do not do impressions of Quack. But he said, here's a video of our trainer, Jorge, and they showed this cool video of Skyda. There's a Skyda chant. It basically melded the two promotions together. Really well done. I'm sure Quack had his fingerprints all over this angle. And, basically, afterwards, they brought out, Yamato, and you figured they'd do the handshake like they did the first couple matches, because you basically were reinforced that it was going to be all good handshakes and stuff. Yamato's like, I don't respect you, and he kicks him in the balls.
Nice.
People boo, Yamato, you suck.
Dude.
And then people are like, what the fuck? And then Akuma runs out as if he's going to jump Yamato, and then he fucking kicks Quack while he's down, fucking goes after Jigsaw. Fucking people just swinging, like Chikara guys just swinging on each other. It was pretty badass. I was like, holy shit.
Did Yamato, like, cut a promo in Japanese and then Don?
He did, and everyone shit on it. He tried to speak English, and it was poor. It was like Japanese English, you know, whatever. Good. If he doesn't
English?
Speak good English, yeah, if he doesn't speak good English, it's like a heel move for Americans, so it's like, whatever. But then Dawn Marie came out and was like, he told me that da-da-da-da-da, and it made everyone feel like a fucking idiot, and like, maybe it'll translate better to pay-per-view, but I was just like, someone fucking pile driver.
Do you know what? I honestly think that, like, Yamato's charisma and facial expressions and everything are such that he could have cut a promo entirely in Japanese, not trying to do English, not having Don translate, and it would have got over clearly what he was saying, that fuck you, I disrespect you, and the low blow would have just been...
He could have learned how to say fuck you, fuck this fan-friendly bullshit.
He generally does. Him and Cybertron curse a lot.
He was doing like a stern promo in Japanese, you know, like, like he was obviously being a heel. And then Akuma turned, and then like one of the ants got attacked by both of them, and then Cheech and Cloudy ran out to a pop, and then they got laid to waste. And then like a whole bunch of them ran out and threw him out of the ring. Some people said that it was like a 2-on-8 attack by the heels. Not exactly. When you're building heat as anything, you gotta put the air in the balloon to make it rise. You can't fucking have your heels look like ass, like people that are gonna get their ass kicked. So of course Akuma and this guy are gonna, they cheated, they kicked the guy in the balls, they kicked them while they were down, and then they laid waste to the people that ran out. As they're trying to get in the ring, they kicked them. That's not fucking a 2-on-8 beatdown, but whatever. Really great angle. I'm sure Quack was really pleased with it. Totally lays the foundation for an upcoming match, which I'm guessing is going to be Jigsaw and Quack against Yamato and fucking Akuma, which is going to be goddamn great. If it's in Chicago, Keith, I hate you.
You'll probably be hating me soon enough, Mr. Naylor.
Yeah, man.
I hate
like
both of you.
And then another match that was built to build the Chicago show. There were storylines kind of on this show, like... Dragon Kid and Yoshino did their stuff, and watching Yoshino live, it's just like, he's so fucking good. His movement, his footing in the ring, he's just so on a different level than most wrestlers. And they were good. It seemed kind of like a Hayabusa against, like, Great Sasuke match, where, like, there were spots that were just thrown in. It wasn't like a really well-built match like I've seen them have on pay-per-view. I think they're building to that well-built match. But, like, you can't really knock it. They did a lot of spectacular things. A lot of the crowd didn't see half the stuff they've done, so people were just really popping for moves. But I think they were kind of deflated from the last match having such a ridiculous reaction, and from the opener that had such a ridiculous reaction, that people were just like, all right, we're going to compose ourselves during this. And they worked kind of a work-in-the-leg-and-arm kind of match, which I don't think should have been the case, but who am I to say the professional wrestling people, that I'm just a fan. But, you know, they did some interesting things. There was a ridiculous Rana while both were standing on the top rope, which is crazy. Yoshino did his trademark dropkick where he gets, like, 12 seconds of air time. It was just very good. But obviously building to whatever match they're going to do, 2 out of 3 falls or whatever kind of other stipulation they're going to do in Chicago, you know, it worked for what it was. You don't want to go out there and do everything you could do that's cool, because, you know, if they did, it would have been awesome. But I think Scorpio's speech afterwards, being like, yo, baby, I've seen a lot of things, and I smoked a lot of bum butts. He didn't really say that.
Like, did he say that? Because that would have been...
He's like,
ever.
I saw Dino Machino and Eddie Guerrero, baby. And he's like, I saw Rey Mysterio Jr. and Psicosis. And you guys... this decade's version of that. They are, but I think the match they had didn't really give that statement as much credence as it would have had normally, but whatever. Well, you know,
I mean, those were matches where they did do the 2 out of 3 falls gimmick later on, so.
Yeah. If you have Scorpio there, say maybe he's not going to be on future shows, you know, you got to use him in that role, so I get why it was done, so cool, whatever. Then Dawn Marie came out and goes, this next match will be a 45-minute match. And then she's like, wait.
Wow.
And then I'm like, isn't it intermission? There's 2 more matches left. She goes, I made a mistake. Intermission. And she's like, at Chikara in August, come see Young Lions Kingdom. And then she's like,
oh my God, they're merging with New Japan.
Yeah, it was horrible. She goes, come see Masquerita Dorudo. And I'm like, oh my God, this is fucking, I was ready to throw something. I was like, come on. So yeah, she was not very good. She seemed like she was mumbling. And don't get me wrong, I mumble a lot too, but I'm not trying to be a fucking ring announcer. So I just thought it was bad. So we all went to intermission. The ice cream truck came at intermission. So we got to go out amongst the dirt and filth of Philadelphia and get ice creams, and I got they had snow cones. It was fucking amazing. So Sawada, IGF professional wrestler Sawada, was there, so I caught up with him. No, he was in an awesome multicolored hoodie. Sawada-san is my favorite Japanese wrestler ever, and I hear he's going back to Japan soon, so I cry and tear up about that. But it was great seeing him. He's always a really fun person to be around. So Sawada was there. Just a lot of my friends. We all caught up at intermission. It was cool. Then they came back to the show, and the match I was least excited for probably was one of my favorite matches of the night. It was Susumu, is it Yokosuka, and Shima against the Young Bucks. And it was fucking amazing. I was just blown away. And I had just watched some of the DDT tournament, so I should have been more up for the Young Bucks, but I watched one of those fucking terrible ROH TV tapings where they wrestled Bob Fish and Silas Young, Pierce must have been like, okay, guys, you guys are workers, let's grab a hold and take it down a notch. And basically Silas Young and fucking Bob Fish took 75% to 80% of the tag match, and the Young Bucks got a little bit in at the end. People that didn't see them were like, that's the Young Bucks? What's so special about them?
Exactly. Meanwhile,
this show, the Young Bucks are doing like fucking probably 80% more than they were allowed to do in the ROH match. All kinds of great strikes, fantastic dives, great, they're just right there for everything, working unbelievable spots. Shima came ready to rock. Susumu looked like one of the best wrestlers on the show. They did their whoo thing. So basically everything.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah, that got over so huge. So like that.
It always does.
Yeah, it was interwoven in the entire match, and everyone loved it. And then toward the end, it was like there was one missed spot too. One thing, they were crisscrossing the ropes, which was not a missed spot, but was ridiculous degree of difficulty, where they're just crisscrossing, like, the two running into the buckles, and it bing, 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 like, holy fuck, what's going on here? And then everyone's just, like, standing on their feet and going nuts. And then the thing where both of the Young Bucks were backpacked, like, riding each other, basically, in the corner, where Shima goes and does the double knees on them and brings them both down, they kind of fell down, and they picked each other up, which looked horrible. But aside from that, they got it all back, and within minutes, people were going apeshit again. And they did this spot where they did the Hangman's Superstar Grand Backbreaker on one of them, and the guy didn't get him up in time, so Shima basically double-stomped the guy's face as it was coming up, which looked fucking ridiculously crazy, and everyone just jumped up screaming after that, and then Shima, with no wasted motion, just ran across the ring and dove like a fucking maniac in between the middle and top ropes, fucking toe-paying in like the fourth row one with the other Jackson guy. And man, by the time the Jacksons got, they did so many cool false finishes, and the Jacksons got their heat back, and they fucking did their killer move where, they did the roly thing, and then the guy did a 450 as soon as he hit, and then the guy did a moonsault. People fucking freaked out and partied when they saw that move. Something that was really cool, too, was I think Susumu was climbing the ropes, and Nick Jackson, or one of them was on the top rope, and the other guy ran up the ropes and just looked at him, and they just paused, and they did the old Too Cold Scorpio La Parka from When Worlds Collide thing, where they both look at the audience both ways, or like The Rock and Hulk Hogan's a more, more, as a dated reference, a more new reference of that thing. They both just slowly look at the fan. They got so much out of that one spot, and some people would say it looked contrived, but fuck those people.
This is a Susumu trademark. You should see him do that to Pac. Pac is like the best selling of that for whatever reason. It's so funny.
Oh, it was cool. Man. I really, really enjoyed that spot. So yeah, that match had me. I was thinking, you know what? I've been cheering entirely too much after that Chikara match and after the whole opener, and then the Dragon Kid and Yoshino had me freaking out more than a couple times. So I was like, man, what an enjoyable show. Now these last two matches, I'm not going to be that into. So at least I can rest my head. I feel like I'm going to have a fucking aneurysm any point. So I had my snow cone. I'm like, I'm just going to chill out. And then like, the tag match is fucking one of the best matches on the, it's arguably, I'd like to say there were three best matches on the show with one almost best match, and I'll say that at the end, but, then the main event came, and Shingo came out to some Kill Your Animals type horrible death metal theme, and, his hair was so cool that it almost, negated that though. So, this was a match I thought I wasn't gonna be that into. And everything they did, again, very crisp. It just looked like everything else on the indies was kind of like an amateur hour type thing. These guys looked so polished. The strikes were on point. Doi was so much better at commanding the crowd and looking into the audience and just feeling the people. And Shingo did much the same. And Shingo's always been great at that, though, so I didn't have any worries about them. But they just had so many cool moves. They did the thing where Naruki Doi did his rolling senton while Shingo was in the corner, and he picked him up and powerbombed him, which people freaked out for. They did that early in the match, too, which I liked. It wasn't one of these slow-building matches with no cool moves early. They kind of set the tone early. So they just did all kinds of cool stuff. He did the kick to the face, the wind sprint kick to the face, and Shingo rolled over and stood back up, and he's like, rah, do it again, you fucker. So then he ran across and did it again and got a cool near fall off that. They just did so many cool things. And if it sounds like I'm really excited and talking fast, it's probably because I'm still kind of pumped over this show.
Well, we can still hear you, though. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, I do have a voice, thank God. So I was like, oh, wow, cool. So, like, it was just a really cool spot, and just so many cool things toward the finish of it. It really built, and everyone really seemed happy at the end of the match. I thought it got over way more than I thought it would initially, just because I thought some of the people would be a little slower to warm up to the Dragon Gate guys in singles matches, which is, you know, I do believe that the heat could have been a little stronger for the Yoshino Dragon Kid match and for the main event. But I think it was more than enough. It's going to look great on pay-per-view. This is coming from someone that's been to ROH tapings who thinks, you know, clapping politely after a match is good heat. So, you know, the heat was... It'll come off great on pay-per-view.
Or and finger crowd, snaps.
Yeah, the crowd should look pretty cool on pay-per-view, too. I wish they'd get bleachers, though. But I was right near the door, so I thought it was very cool. The building was supposedly, you know, Hades hot, but I didn't really feel that because I was always...
You had your snow cone. It's totally understandable why you didn't.
I did have my fucking snow cone, so that was good. But, so
will they be able to fit it all into 2 hours on pay-per-view? Or
they'll easily be able to fit it in. But it seems like it went long, but we were out of there by, like, 11 o'clock easily. And
take
there was
the
a lot of
and stuff out and
intermission, and there was a lot of talking from Dawn Marie that probably won't make it. Like, there was a lot of promotion for Chikara, as well there should be, as I guess it's basically them putting these shows on, as far as I can figure, since it's Chikara presents Dragon Gate. So there's a lot of promotion for Chikara, which is good. Hopefully those guys will see a big bump in their attendance next month. So, it was just a good effort. I thought the people working, the security, were great. I'm not sure who they were, if they were students or whatever. Very nice, personable, not the usual prick fucking security people that basically look at
Ronnie
like,
from Atlas wasn't there, is what you're telling me?
Oh, not like people that were thinking you're going to, hey, fucker, are you trying to steal something? No, none of that at all. It was a good atmosphere. I think that helped people's moods anyway at the live show. So ultimately, I think that the clearest miss on the show was Dawn Marie. I think she was horrible in her role. I think she mispronounced names. She called the guys Charkara as if it's like a fucking victim. She just wasn't very good. And even if she knew the people's names, she just didn't really have the fire and spunk that she should have had. Like, if you have a female... If you have a female, like, fronting this, and I think Gabe had an idea. He thought a hostess would be different, be something new, and he thought that maybe it would be good for presentation. I know by reading what he wrote on Twitter, he obviously went over this shit with Dawn Marie a lot. Like, she was supposed to know the names of everybody. So whether she dropped the ball live or she just didn't really commit to it, who the hell knows? Bottom line, I don't think she should be back, and that sounds like something mean to say, but I think if someone really missed on this show, it was definitely her. one of my friends who actually is a female, so I take her perspective more than I take most, and she's an interviewer, she thought that Dawn Marie kind of brought the show down every time she came out. And I agree with that. So, you know, whatever. I think Dawn Marie definitely was bad, and she shouldn't be back. I do think her wrestler's rescue was cool. That's a good cause.
Very good cause.
But I think the idea of she had a booth, get a kiss from Dawn Marie for $15. Are you? I mean, I know that I know that wrestling fans are probably some of the most hard up human beings on the planet for any kind of loving from ladies. But are you fucking kidding me? Like, someone told me that and I was dying. Like, I didn't go over to any of that area. I didn't even go and peruse the high spots place, which I'm pissed about. I probably should have. But that's a pretty ridiculous.
A Dawn Marie kissing booth? This is news to me. This is something I hadn't heard about. Did it say mother of two Dawn Marie at all, by any chance? Or?
No, I don't believe it did. Now, if it goes to the wrestlers that need new voice boxes or whatever, maybe it's a good cause for her to do such, but, like, it just seemed kind of desperate and sad. And I don't know. I just don't think it's – I don't think she should be back. I'm sorry. She's probably a nice lady. But I'm sorry.
Yeah, obviously, with a charity, it seems like she does care, and it's great to see that someone's actually doing stuff about it. Now, could they do something where they could hide her flaws, maybe, by, like, not having her out in public or having her on some sort of, you know, interview segment where she...
No, I think she'd be worse. I think she'd be worse if she was backstage. She was backstage for the fray, and I thought it made it worse. Oh. It just seemed like this faceless, soulless human being going, and in next... Andy Hardner! And no one even understood what she was saying, so these people that no one knew anyway were even more faceless to people. So, I don't think she did good. The only other people I'd say I don't think got over at all, I'd say would be Kenny Doane and Scorpio. As I said, I enjoyed the match, but there was a lot of, hey man, where'd the spots go type stuff, and they worked a smart match, but maybe it was out of place on this show.
Maybe it wasn't the right.
What's that?
It was Scorpio style. Like, if you see any of the stuff that Scorpio's done in the last, you know, few years on the indies, like in his IWA Mid-South run, his stuff is very, very plotting, as you mentioned before. Yeah.
I agree. I was expecting the Scorpio style match, and, like, even if he had a guy like Super Crazy or Paul London against him, I think it would have been a little better. Like, honestly, I'm not trying to say it was a good match, but, like, I think it didn't hurt the show. Like, I think if you're watching this on pay-per-view, you kind of want something to kind of, hey, babe, go get some popcorn and beers for us, you know? Because, of course, we
live is that babe Dawn Marie that you would like to go get?
We live in a very patriarchal society where we can't get up and get our own popcorn and beer. And, anyway, you know, it's one of those type deals where I don't think that it's going to hurt the show much. I think some people will actually enjoy that match. But Scorpio was not over with the crowd. I think now...
It's been a long time.
When I had conversations with Gabe about this show, I thought the idea of bringing ex-ECW guys that can go was a great one.
Oh, yeah. Thinking,
God, that's so cool. What a great ode to the past. Now, in hindsight, I think I was 100% wrong, and I think that ECW guys don't add one ticket sale to the show, and I think they're not even as over as you'd think they would be. And I think that's sad in a way, because those fans are gone, I guess. But I think now, and this is crazy for me to say, I think the Chikara guys are more valuable to these shows, and they were seen as valuable before, don't get me wrong, but I just had no idea just how over Quackenbush was going to be. Now I think you could literally build entire shows around Chikara versus Dragon Gate. It looks like they're going in that direction anyway from the promos and everything they said anyway, bringing Skyda into it. So holy shit. I guess they won't do it coming up anytime soon if you have a tournament coming up, which they announced in November. But my God, if they pop that shit off in 2010, can you imagine? We'll have to do
shows. When they bring in Skyda to get in the middle of it, that'd be something.
I know. That is going to be ridiculous. Imagine, like, Skyda, Quackenbush, and Jigsaw. Skyda, Quackenbush, Jigsaw, and Hallowicked against, like, fucking, you know, Shingo, Doi. Shingo, Doi, Yamato, and, like, Yoshino or something. Like, just imagine the shit.
Guys, I can just picture it now. Like, Dragon Gate guys, Chikara guys, all brawling around the ring, chaos, everyone trying to separate them, and then Hips Don't Lie goes across the system, and out comes Skyda.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't. You know what? That might be one place where I actually think I'd appreciate the
killing your dad.
Yeah,
right. My dad must die.
Shakira, Shakira.
Oh God! But for some reason or another, I don't see him running to the ring. I see more of a dance than anything else. But I do have to ask this about the Scorpio match, though, Naylor. Now, when he would wrestle at IWA Mid-South like 2 years ago, the one thing that I noticed, and that, you know, several of my friends would notice while watching his match, would be the ever presence of his underwear showing during the match. Did you get a chance to see the legendary Scorpio thong?
No, I did not see a Scorpio thong. I did hear pull your pants up at one point.
Okay, yeah, then Scorpio.
I thought that was people had. Saying that to Doan, and then Doan pulled his pants down, I think, to one area of the crowd. I swear that was what happened, because Doan was really a good heel. I think that people are really getting on that match, but he's a worker. He's a guy you could tell was polished. He knows what to do. He knows how to control a crowd. I just think this crowd maybe wasn't exactly up for what he was doing.
Well, the problem with having an old ECW guy in there is it's great and all because it's a nice ode to the past, but unless you sit there and put him up against another ECW guy, but the problem is there's no ECW guy that can work the way Scorpio works these days. I mean, maybe like a Super Crazy would be a good example of that, you know, where maybe a Super Crazy Scorpio match would have been good because they both had that ECW history. This was, you know, Ken Doan versus Scorpio, and, you know, it didn't seem like a clusterfuck, but it didn't seem like, you know, a match that people are talking about a lot today.
Yeah, when there was names bandied about for Scorpio's opponent, I really pushed for Super Crazy. I think Super Crazy against Scorpio would have been fucking amazing. Just because for the ECW mark and me, maybe people wouldn't like that. I don't know. But I think for the ECW mark and me, Two Cold Scorpio was so awesome for his year and a half in ECW, and Crazy was awesome for his time in ECW. So I think melding those two would have been really badass. I think it would have been great. But I think Crazy was unable to be found or doing All Japan.
He's doing All Japan. Wrestling.
Yeah, it wasn't a feasible idea, so whatever. But, you know, hey, Paul Lee probably was the guy that pushed for Doan, so whatever. I don't think he was that bad, but, you know, I'm not the minority. I am the minority, though. I do think people did not enjoy that match, but I enjoyed it. What can I say?
No, I mean, Rob,
it wasn't a Brent Albright match.
Okay, you know? Well, what's that saying, though?
But, it was a Ken Doan match. It was worlds better. It was better than any Claudio Brent Albright match I've ever seen.
Even the flag match? Hold on for a second. Even better than the flag match.
Even the flag match. And I, you know, that's not big praise, but I'll just say that's the kind of match that just makes you sad to be a wrestling fan sometimes. And I like Claudio, but Albright just has ways to kill my interest. But, you know, this was not a bad match by any means.
Now, as someone that went to a lot of the, you know, I mean, the first year of Ring of Honor, you went to the, you know, Fred McMurray Center and everything else. How did the atmosphere of this show compare to those shows back in the day? I mean, did you definitely feel like you were seeing something exciting, cutting edge, and the beginning of something very special?
Yeah, I thought so. I'm doing two things at one time. I'm texting somebody, but yeah, I thought it was a different, thought it was a different atmosphere, but it just seemed like everyone had a good time. Like, it's redundant to say, but even fucking Gabe was going around saying hello to people and how you talk about a guy who did a 180. Like, he was a very fan friendly guy. Like, he was like, hey, how's it going, guys? And da 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 da, and I'm glad you're enjoying the show, or I hope you come back, and thank you, and, you know, he was more to himself back in the day. I'm sure he would admit that, so that was good to see. Yeah, just like I said, it was just good. And I enjoyed before we got there, a whole crew of us went to the Royal Tavern in
No Quencher or not Quenchers? No Nickels?
No, fuck no Nickels. Royal Tavern was just a bunch of people eating vegan and vegetarian-based food. It was the club. What is it? I'm not a vegetarian, so I don't know these words, but they had like a no-meat sloppy joe, all kinds of weird shit, so I was like, woohoo, to health, you know, so it was good, the beer was flowing, it was a nice time, so it was good times, and we just headed up to the arena, you know, it was not bad, I have no bad things to say about the entire time, it was a good time.
Now, guys, as you know, Alan is a huge Dragon Gate expert, as I like to call him, and also Rob Naylor. Now, of course, we look on to the Chicago show, which is coming up on September the 6th, and the inclusion of Bryan Danielson and Davey Richards. What dream matches do you guys put up against these two fine, upstanding young men? And especially, Rob, I'm curious about your opinion after what you saw last night.
Okay.
Right now, I think any combination of them, like Shingo, Doi, Yoshino, I guess Yoshino and Dragon Kid are going to be tied together, building off last night, like, since they said they're having a rematch. So if they're out of the equation, I suppose it's got to be Shingo and Doi. Putting Yamato in there wouldn't really make sense now that he's involved with Quack and all them, so I think it's got to be Shingo and Doi, and it really doesn't matter who goes with who. Like, it's going to be amazing. Like, Danielson versus Doi, or Danielson versus Shingo, are both going to be amazing. Same with Davey, so I don't really care.
Rob Naylor?
Yeah, what he said. I think you got to do Shingo against Danielson or Shingo against Davey. I think those matches are going to really sell tickets. I think Doi I was not sold on. I'm not going to lie. I thought, oh, God. I thought Doi against Danielson? But, like, Doi, I was like, Doi against Davey would be better because Doi had a good match, I at least thought, with Kenta. But, like, now after last night, I was just so impressed with Naruki Doi. And I think for sure, Doi against Danielson, or Doi against Davey, or Doi against fucking Hella Wicked, I would love to see all of those.
Oh.
Like, I don't know if you do those matches.
For some reason, Doi and Danielson seems really, really fresh more than any of the other matches. I'm not sure why, because like, Danielson hasn't wrestled Shingo either. But I don't know, there's something about Doi and Danielson. I think maybe just like two guys like them haven't really wrestled each other. So like Davey against, like Davey's Kenta that like you think of Doi versus Kenta and might not be the fresh thing, but Doi and Danielson, like there's no two guys like them that have wrestled each other like that have sort of come into mind. So it's like I just think that'd be perfect. Like Danielson hasn't wrestled anyone like Doi, and Doi hasn't wrestled anyone like Danielson. That's kind of what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, most definitely. I agree. I think that Davey and Shingo, should that match be done?
Oh, please.
Is like the motherfucker of all matches.
Yeah, they wrestled in PWG, but this was like back when Shingo was like kind of injured and like really kind of.
Because of Rob Naylor touching his arm.
Yeah. He was like far from the Shingo that we have now. And Davey even was a different Davey then. So like, yeah, that's going to be a mill. And it was also like a shortish PWG match in front of a kind of crowd. So like, this is going to be completely another world. Like,
and plus the fact that if you sit there and you take two of the best independent wrestlers on the scene today, and I think that argument could be made for both Danielson and Davey Richards, and you put them up against Dragon Gate guys, it helps level, you know, bring all four guys that are going to be involved there up a little bit more, and it also brings the crowd excitement, I think, a little bit more, as opposed to a straight Dragon Gate versus Dragon Gate match.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's going to be some. I think you're going to see an awfully good show.
Please,
I'm really jealous.
Please, the wrestling gods. Please,
and
let us have.
And I think you're going to get the tag. You're going to get the tag with Quack and fucking Jigsaw against Yamato and Akuma. I'll tell you this much, and I don't know if I'm overstepping my boundaries, but Gabe Sapolsky is the biggest fan of Quack and Jigsaw as a tag team. Like, you don't even want to know.
Quacksaw.
Like, dude, he fucking loves that tag team. So, like, I expect to see them in a lot of cool matches before it's all said and done, and I cannot wait, because I think the world of Jigsaw, I think he's fantastic. I'm glad Gabe smartened up and put a goddamn mask on him again. And
he needs holes in his mask. He needs to breathe. Rob, I don't know if you listened to his interview on the show last week with Keith, but he was talking about how he can't see and he can't breathe. So give him some eye holes, give him a mouth. For fuck's sake, what is the point of those stupid masks to cover your whole face? One, it doesn't even look as good. Like, guys like Delirious and Generico, their masks look better and you can see more of their expression with their eyes and stuff like that. It's like, that's a plus. And like, I remember when he got knocked out that time in ROH? Can you imagine, like, what it must have felt like to be knocked out while your head is all covered up by a mask? He must have felt like he was dead or something. It was so, it's so stupid. It looks stupid, and just give the guy, like, why are you restricting a guy? It's as bad as TNA, like, having, like, an AJ Styles, like, Chris Daniels match and saying, okay, it's going to be a pole match
for
you.
Did he say he didn't like his mask?
oh, he said he likes his mask because he's happy he has it back because it's cool and he's not the same without the mask, but you're saying it sucks that he can't breathe. And
oh, the reason I think he didn't want to wear the mask. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's got positives in terms of how it looks, and the negatives are...
That seems like a very problem. That seems like a very easy problem to figure out.
He's got a bunch of masks anyway. It's like not as if he just has the one mask and it costs like $600 to get a new one. Like, he'd be able to get one, and like he's got a few, so he'd just make up another one, this time of holes in it. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not
Armageddon.
Like, I saw a couple of people going, like, there's a topic on this, and a couple of people are like, oh no, he's a mystery, a riddle, you can't see any of his face. I'm like,
we know.
What,
it's not a surprise.
A big polo neck? You want to have a polo neck as well? Like, you can't see his neck or his chest or anything? Because he's a jigsaw? Like, fuck.
Or you don't want him to get hurt. That's the main thing. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, like, why restrict
him? The guy's getting him hurt
guys.
Himself. Dude, he was doing some crazy shit last night for not being able to see. Like, he did one of the craziest eyes I've ever seen. So, like,
I'll say this, though.
Hallowicked has the same kind of mask. And Hallowicked and Jigsaw, man. Fucking A. They're so awesome. Like, seriously.
He'd hollow wicked holes, too. He'd probably be better. Imagine how much better these guys would be.
Amasis was great, too. He's just...
And he has holes in his mask.
There you go.
Think about it, Naylor. Do the math. That's the
goal for everyone. Oh, man, wait till you see that facepalm, I'm telling you. It's stuck in my mind. The funniest thing is, I saw one of the most badass shows of all time, and the lone image that I will always think of when I think of this show is Mike Quackenbush gearing up on one side of the ring, and fucking Amasis gearing up on the other after all kinds of crazy tarnation went down, and then just fucking sprinting at each other, and fucking Quack coming with the fucking facepalm, and Amasis taking the craziest bump this side of fucking... Kenta Kobashi onto his fucking dome, taking this, and then, oh, it's fucking great. So, yeah. Needless to say, I enjoy the show. I really liked it. I don't know if it's good for you to say that, Rob,
because I think people listening for the last 50 minutes.
I don't know if anyone else enjoyed
it
as much, but I was just very happy that I have a wrestling promotion I could go to now, and I don't have to go to it regularly. I mean, wrestling can be a fucking financial drain. I'm not as into wrestling as I used to be anyway, so it's kind of like... If you could go to, all my friends are like, yeah, man, I'd go to this 4 times a year, you know what I mean, or I'd go, you know what I mean, or 5 or 6 or whatever. It's not really going to push our hand to get out to the show, like, all the time, like, twice a month or all that other shit. Like, it's going to be good.
It's not going to be an investment for you. It's going to be something that you go to. I mean, that's the thing where ROH, just trying to keep up with the product, even when the product was great, it still took a lot of work to sit there and get all the DVDs, watch all the matches, and sort of keep up to date with the stylings. Hell, I'm glad everything has happened in ROH the way it has. So it means that I don't have to sit there and watch every single show. And then when they do come to town, I could watch them without actually thinking about what's going on actually in the product.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the one thing I'll say about that. And I think Dragon Gate USA, the fact that they're running, you know, every 2 or 3 months, that's a good thing because you can get oversaturated with, you know, too much wrestling and the stuff that they're presenting. They didn't throw a million things at you last night. They throw little nuances for matches and one possible full scale feud that sounds like a dandy feud, because I think it's going to bring the Chikara promotion and guys like Jigsaw, guys like Hallowicked that have been around for what, you know, 5-6 years, that it'll really get the spotlight on them. And so this is something very cool, very good going on in the world of wrestling right now. So and all except for Dawn Marie, I've heard nothing but positive things, and right now I really want a snow cone.
Oh dude, the line for the fucking tickets resale for the next show was ridiculous. I mean, that's such a positive sign. People were fucking amped to get tickets. At ROH, you're leaving the building, you're like, tickets for the next show. And you see that asshole with the fucking buzz cut, and you're like, I don't want to talk to
Glacier.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm like, Glacier, I don't want to talk to you anyway, and you just walk out, but like, it's like terrible. But like, this show, I was so proud to be like, I didn't get tickets, but I'm just saying, if there was a show, I didn't get a good back either. Yeah, I know. If there was a show I was going to get tickets for, it would probably be this one. So, yeah.
And of course, when they come back, I believe in November in Philadelphia, they are going to be doing a title tournament. And what's the name of the American title?
Open Freedom Gate.
Oh, the fuck if I know. I don't know.
I was asking Alan. I knew you wouldn't care, Rob. So, okay. You know, I
Open Freedom Gate. He said, I don't know. I guess I don't
who
know.
Put in it. I suppose we would you think it'd be 8 guys?
I would think an 8-man tournament, because that would work really.
Yeah, so, like, no shortage of names to pick from.
In a way, I don't like that, kind of.
Why so?
I don't know. There was... Like, I shouldn't say I don't like it. I mean, I'll enjoy the show. I think that 8-man tournament...
I think it might be a 4-man tournament, because an 8-man tournament's a minimum of 7 matches.
That's a good point.
And you'd have to have another match, because you have to put something in between the semis and the finals so someone isn't working back-to-back.
Well, you know what? So, I changed my mind. You could probably do a 7-match tournament, and you could probably do a really badass multi-man in between all that.
But he's not going to want 8 matches on the card.
Hey, Will. If it's a tournament, then it's even better, because the opening round matches don't have to go that fucking long.
Yeah,
sometimes if you have a pay-per-view, you're kind of forced to go long, and sometimes matches that go long aren't as good as matches that go short.
I
changed my mind. If it lessens the time of each match in the early going, I think it might lead to a better flowing show.
Or what they could do is have an 8-man tournament, the 4 singles for matches to start off with, and then those 4 guys in some sort of final right away, as opposed to, do a multi-man, like a 6-person tag team match, and then
I see what you're saying.
Do the finals like that way, because then everyone looks really good, and then that sets up also 3 challengers for down the line for the fact that they didn't beat them in a straight match.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah. Definitely. But I'm very excited right now, and it's an excitement in wrestling that I don't think I've had in like 2 weeks. So that's a good thing, And I'm curious to see what happens next with this promotion, and I'm sure we're going to be talking about it here on the Dr. Keith Lipinski Show for a decent amount of time, As great as PWG is, and Alan, I know you got to watch DDT4, and I know Naylor, you got to see something.
I have the final left to see.
That's such a good show, too. Oh, my God.
I may watch that final, right as we finish here, because I've loved everything. Even, the last 2 matches I'd left to watch were the final and the Joey Ryan Chris Hero match, and I wasn't really expecting much from that, because I hadn't heard much about it. And I just watched that about an hour ago, and it was really good. The crowd didn't really know how to react to it, but I don't fucking care. Hero and Joey were just so awesome in it that, it didn't matter. They were beating the shit out of each other in so many cool spots. It was really good. I'm really stoked they're having a rematch now, and I wasn't really digging that.
Guerrilla Warfare, baby.
Oh, it's Guerrilla Warfare, isn't
it?
No.
Yes, it is.
Nice. I haven't read the fancy Excalibur press release yet.
No, you're too upset, much like I, the fact that young Kenforth Omega and Chucky T will not be a team, while Ken is, of course, in the land of the rising.
Kenny Omega produce Beer Garden Wrestling on August the 8th in DDT.
Oh, my goodness. That is a show of shows. We got to.
Thing ever was Omega and Chuck Taylor doing a hair of fucking cat fight. Holy shit.
Oh my God! That was
think I laughed so hard at a comedy spot a long time.
And then when the Scorpio and Human Tornado broke them up, and then they both jumped the 2 dark and lovely members.
Oh, such great stuff! Yeah, definitely. If you have not checked it out, go to highspots.com, prowrestlinggorilla.com, and check out the DDT4 tournament. I think we'll be talking about that a little bit more, and maybe our match of the week next week can be the fantastic Young Bucks versus the Men of Low Moral Fiber match, because I think that was a splendid tag team match and had some of my favorite moments of the year in wrestling so far. But guys, I think we are done with our special report about Dragon Gate USA. Any final thoughts, Rob Naylor?
I think that everyone should check out Dragon Gate USA on September or whenever the fuck they're going to be.
Can you do this in the Gabe voice, please?
Yes, everybody. Oh, did you see his Twitter before the show? He's like, I'm washed, I'm dressed, and I'm ready to go.
He slept like a baby, too.
I love you, Gabe. Unbelievable. So, yeah, he was pumped, and I think Dragon Gate USA is a very good promotion. I think everyone should check it out. I think a lot more cool shit is on the horizon. And, yo, man, snow cones are good. That's about it.
Alan?
Yeah, just stoked to see the pay-per-view. I hope they kind of put some pictures, maybe even a little video online, just so I can kind of get a feel for it, other than just hearing about it. So that'd be cool, but either way, pay-per-view is going to be awesome. I can't get the pay-per-view here in Ireland, so what am I talking about? I have to wait for the DVD. Shucks.
Oh, man. We'll see what we can do about changing that so that all the Irish guys that don't like coming to America like yourself and Fergal Devitt can enjoy the awesomeness that is DG USA. So
I'm sure some magic will allow me to just out of nowhere, the pay-per-view will appear in front of me. I don't know how, but you never know.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a pleasure talking with these two fine men about pro wrestling. We hope to have another show later on this week. It all depends upon the Lipinski Baby Project coming out at a decent time. So,
hey, good luck on that if I don't talk to you till the incident occurs.
Oh, this
lovely, beautiful incident of birth. I said incident. That sounds like a bad thing, but yeah.
It seems like something like, you know, like it seems like I feels like I'm watching an old ECW and you're talking about the the Brian Lee, Tommy Dreamer, high scaffold incident. Right? That, you know, high incident.
Hey, man, maybe they'll play Hey, Man, Nice Shot as your child is being born, too. And if you understood that reference, you're more of a dork than I am. I love it.
The sad thing is I did. So
awesome.
Get your copy today from ECW Home Video.
I love it.
For Rob Naylor, for Alan Cunahan, this is Dr. Keith Lipinski signing off. Thank you so much for listening to the Dr. Keith Lipinski Show. So long, everybody.